Good afternoon. Welcome to Captives Internet Radio. We are here this afternoon talking with Dr. Sharon McDowell. She is soon to be the director of the Water Resources Research Center at the University of Arizona, and she's a professor and specialist in the Department of Agricultural and Resource Economics.
Good afternoon.
This interview is in support of an article on water and the issue on water in the June 6th edition of the Ebony Cactus magazine. We, of course, encourage you to pull up a copy of the magazine and take a look at it. I'm sure you will find the information fascinating. So, Dr. Mitchell, as an expert on water in Arizona, can you give us a brief overview of the issues facing our state and also our neighboring states regarding water?
Well, I think we all know that water is the lifeblood for living in the desert. Without water, we wouldn't have communities, we wouldn't have jobs, we wouldn't have anything. And we all know that Arizona and the Southwest generally are rapidly growing. And we really don't create any new water. And so we're in a situation right now where fortunately we've had water on which to grow and support our economies. We've got the Central Arizona Project, Colorado River, Salt River Project. We have groundwater supplies. We have other rivers. But we're growing rapidly. We're using these supplies. And we're getting to the point in many of our communities, both in Arizona and surrounding states, where we have to look hard at how much water we use and how much water is there to grow on so that we have supplies that are sufficient to sustain the economic activities that depend on those supplies. So the basic situation is we've been growing, we've been sometimes relying on groundwater a little bit too much, we've been switching over to what we call renewable supplies, but we have to be ever vigilant in how we use our supplies and make sure we're doing sound planning for the future.
Some scientists are saying, in fact many are saying, that we are now in the ninth year of a 30-year drought. Has this affected us at all?
Well, certainly the drought has affected us, and the question of how long a drought are we in, that's a hard one to answer. In fact, we have researchers here at the University of Arizona who do research on tree rings. We have them on do research on mollusks, on shells. And we don't know whether this is going to be a very prolonged drought. We do know, though, that this drought has affected our water supplies and our reservoirs, and it's made the public aware that they shouldn't just take for granted that there will always be ample water supplies for all the demands that we have out there. So the drought is a concern, but water in Arizona and in the arid Southwest is a concern, drought or no drought. So listeners and readers, I don't want you to think the next time there's a heavy rain, we don't have a water problem. We have a water issue and water challenges that are going to last for several years.
Has the public responded?
The public has responded to the concerns about drought. Unfortunately, the biggest public response we got was last summer because of the wildfires. Because of the terrible wildfires we had, the public really understood the implications of the lack of rain, of the dryness. And so survey results and other things showed that the forest fires and water together were a concern. And so the public has responded in part, but then on the other hand, the public also sees new golf courses built and other things going on. So I think sometimes there's a mixed message. And I think that the best thing for people to keep in mind is water is in short supply in the desert for the long term. We have good planning going on in many parts of the state, and so there's no reason to be overly worried. But on the other hand, we shouldn't be wasting water.
In preparation for this interview, in our conversations, you told me, you gave me some very good advice. You told me that in order to plan properly for the future, we have to understand where we are today. Can you elaborate on that for us?
I'd be happy to. Water planning takes you, it requires the attention of a whole bunch of people. Now, most of us, we're happy, you turn on the tap, we want good quality water to come out. A lot of work goes into making sure that happens. And in certain parts of the state, planning is required, conservation measures are required, and people have a good sense of what their water supplies are and what they will be for the future. In other parts of the state, there are limited or no regulations whatsoever regarding planning for future water supplies. And so if you ask the question, what should we be doing for the future, I'll answer, well, we better know where we are now. And many of the communities, particularly some of the smaller communities in Arizona, are recognizing that they need to do planning, they need to do studies, so that they can figure out for themselves how to get those future water supplies. So planning is very important, and I would say we, across the state, range from very careful, elaborate plans to, gee, we better find out how much water is in the aquifer before we figure out if we have enough to sustain a lot of new industry in our area.
We have discussed that everything in our state is interconnected. How we use water here in Arizona affects how water is used in California, how water is used in Nevada. What would be a pathway to get the big picture?
Well, the pathway to look at the big picture would probably be for the readers to take a look at the map and see if they can find where the Colorado River starts and where it ends. And it goes through seven states and then into Mexico and empties out of Mexico. And the Colorado River has been described as the most overdeveloped river in the United States. We have seven states relying on supplies from the Colorado River as well as Mexico. In a normal year, we could maybe meet all those demands. But over time, as demand grows, and if we are having drought, we do have problems with shortages of supplies. The other thing is, it's all allocated by law. I think the thing that a typical listener or reader wouldn't realize is the complexity of the law of the Colorado River, for example. And so every drop of that river is allocated to one state or another. So, for example, Nevada, when water was allocated to Nevada, a small city, Las Vegas, they need more water, they'd like more water off the Colorado River, but nobody has it for them to give to them. So what we've done here in Arizona is we've developed a mechanism whereby we might bank some water here to help Nevada in the future. We also work with California as a neighboring state. We're hoping it can scale its water dependence from the Colorado River back to the 4.4 million acre feet it's gotten. It had been using more. So it's also interrelated, because if we don't use our water here in Arizona, we've got other takers. But we have been using all our water. We expect to be using all our water. And we have concerns that we don't want other cities being built in California and Nevada based on our water. On the other hand, we're all interrelated. We all share from the same watershed. So water quality issues upstream affect us here. Our water quality issues in the river affect Mexico. And so we're all in it together. And we've got lots of challenges, but we also have lots of creative minds looking for solutions.
Is this where the concept of sustainability comes in?
Well, sustainability comes in almost any time these days you talk about water. It's in this kind of arid environment. And that is, we want to utilize our water resources in a way that does not impede future generations' use of the resource and ability to sustain the economies we're building now. So it's all about building in a way so that the future generations can also enjoy the fruits of our labors, the beauty of this state and region, and not build ghost towns.
Where can one go? What would be a good starting point for a listener to find more information on these subjects?
Well, you know, there are a number of websites where people can go. One of them is our Water Center's website, which is www.ag.arizona.edu/azwater. And at our website, we have our newsletter posted, which is issued every other month, and it covers a whole host of water issues, such as salinity, Indian water rights, planning for future growth. Yours truly writes a column in every issue on a public policy matter. We also have links to many other water websites, including the Department of Environmental Quality, which is concerned about water quality, the Department of Water Resources. But I have to say it can sometimes be a bit overwhelming to start reading up on water because there's just so much out there. So I would suggest you might want to start with our website. Again, it's www.arizona.edu/azwater. And then there's another website from a new program we've got going here, and this is www.uawater.arizona.edu. And that site contains some great information and also some links to other water centers on campus. I think if you start there, you'll find all kinds of things and go from there.
The last thing I'd like to ask you is that your center here is recognized for being a leader in water research in the state. Can you elaborate on some of the programs that you are doing?
I'd like to talk about not only what our center does, but some of what is being done at the UA, the University of Arizona generally, because we have so many faculty and staff working on water resources. So let me just briefly touch on it. We are working on things here on campus that range from ultra-pure water for manufacturing of semiconductor chips to looking at water supplies and decision-making for the Fort Huachuca, Sierra Vista area. I mentioned earlier how areas have to plan. There you've got a national conservation area. You've got an important fort. You've got a growing city, and you've got a lot of attention being paid to figuring out how do we keep the river flowing and meet all these demands. Well, there are U of A researchers who work on decision support systems to help people make their decisions. Here at our center, we do a lot of water education. We have a major program where we train teachers to bring water into their curriculum. We do our publications. We do work on environmental enhancement projects and what kind of water are required for them and how they are sustainable in the long term, the role of the public versus private sector in water provision, and a tremendous amount of work on water quality. And I could just go on and on with the list, but there's just a tremendous amount of work being done. Climatology, the connection between climatic changes and water supplies. And then a big thing is connecting decision-making and science, making what we do here at the university relevant for all the folks out there in the real world.
Dr. Medbell, thank you very much. Your words have been highly enlightening. I want to thank you for being with us, and I'm certain that we'll be back as things progress in the state. This is your host, Dr. George Brooks, editor of the Ebony Cactus Magazine, www.theebonycactus.com, and Cactus Internet Radio, www.cactusinternetradio.com.
Thank you.